Man, we use like unplugging stuff and plugging stuff in. And
it's Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit working. I thought maybe it was a demon. I thought it was a demon. Anybody else in that situation, they'd be like, all right, we got to stop the song, and I got to, like, work on this thing. And he's like, song keeps going, and he's down here and, like, soldering stuff on. And so that's awesome. That's awesome. And, of course, the whole time he's thinking, I'm doing this where nobody's really paying attention, then I'm going to get up here and talk about it for 2 minutes, you know.
6'3", like, 260. I'm not, like, going to blend in. Yeah, no,
no. You're definitely not. You're definitely not. Well, it's awesome to have you guys here today. Thank you for being a part of this day. Some of you just coming to church. Some of you didn't know what you were walking into. Today is a chance for us to look back and to celebrate some things that God's done. In other words, we've been doing this as of last weekend, 10 years. And to God be the glory that He has been faithful to us. He has protected us. He has provided for us, he's just been God. He's done His thing despite who we are, you know, and kind of like He said earlier, you know, it's a chance for us to celebrate Him kind of covering our tracks and all of the things that we've jacked up along the way. He's made up the difference big time. Today, we're wanting to take a chance today to celebrate some of the things He's done. You may say, well, I've only been around, you know, for, you know, not very long, or this is my first Sunday or whatever. Well, I hope that what you get from what we're doing here today is that, you know, we exist. If you didn't know, the purpose in our existence is for God's glory. In other words, that people would know Him because they know us. And sometimes, you know, God does amazing things, and we recognize, we see those things in our life, and it may be just like a driving down the road thing, kind of epiphany, and we realize, oh man, I see what God did right there, and that was amazing kind of thing. But the truth is that God does those things always 100% of the time to point back to Him, to make Himself known. And so, you know, for us today is a chance for us to call a timeout and say, okay, what has God done that He deserves to be glorified for? What are some things that we can share today? And I'll be honest with you, it's been one of the hardest mornings to prepare for, because there's so much that I want to share versus what I really can share. And I've even got a couple people that I'm going to have come and share. And that's just dangerous all over the place, because, I mean, you never know. I mean, we could be here for 10 days or something talking about stuff. And so really been trying to kind of hone this down. So this morning, I want to share just a little bit of kind of what's happened and how we got to here. And you may have heard some of this before, and you may have heard none of this before. But at the end of the day, the only reason that we're telling it is so that God can be glorified, okay? And so, you know, I want to read this passage to you. If you've got a Bible, go ahead and get it out. I'll tell you what, if you don't have a Bible, we got ushers, they got Bibles. And just for the sake of you going ahead and being able to have one, throw your hand up if you don't have one with you. They will give you one, and you can take it. If you don't own it, you can keep it. That's a gift from us. But we're going to go to a passage in Galatians chapter 6. And we're just going to read a couple of smaller verses this morning. I know some of you are like, man, I was hoping to hear a message today. And you're going to get some of that. We're going to be in the Word a little bit. But today is a chance for us to talk of some great things that God has done. But this verse right here, this is one of the verses that we're actually adopting for this year to kind of drive as a force for us, as a theme of who we are as 24 Church and what we are about. And that being that we would always 100% of the time boast in the cross. And let's just read Galatians 6:14. It says, "But far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." This passage, you know, is Paul sharing something, you know, so huge for us. I think, you know, it's easy for us to boast. It's easy for us to be prideful, excited about things, isn't it? But I think to kind of keep us in check and what Paul was doing as he was writing this letter to the church at Galatia, you know, he was trying to help them to stay in check with something that's so important for us, that our boasting would be in Christ alone. You know, and that's tough to do. I mean, we love to, you know, we love to boast about stuff. We love to, you know, but the truth is that our hearts, our lives should be driven toward boasting in the cross. And you know, I think back on the last 10 years, and I think back, Nathan and I were even talking last night for a few minutes. You know, it is so amazing when you think about all the things God's done. I'm sure eventually, you know, if you haven't been here very long, you'll hear some of these things. You'll hear some today. But, you know, looking back on it, everyone has come around one simple thing: Jesus. That's been the reason for all of this. In the very beginning, it was about Jesus. And today, it's about Jesus. The next 10 years will be about Jesus, you know? And you think about that. You think about that, really, it is the life-transforming message of the gospel that has brought us here today and has been bringing us together for 10 years. It was a little over 10 years ago, actually probably 12, 13 years ago, God had moved my family and I. It was just Aaron and I at the time. We didn't have any children. And moved us. We were in student ministry at the time as a student pastor, and taking us to a church down in West Tennessee. And I really thought this was going to be this place where we're going to go and we're going to stay, and we'll do ministry here forever. You know, I really had no intention of ever doing anything but youth ministry. I love youth ministry. I still love youth ministry. I'm still jealous of you people that get to do youth ministry all the time, just a little bit. And I always said, I don't want to be a pastor because my dad's a pastor, and I've seen all that, and I've seen what he gets to deal with, you know. But, you know, in the midst of all this, God moved us somewhere and really moved us there to show us something in my life that I didn't know was going to be true, but that he would want to lead us to start a church. And so it took all of that. It took a whole moving and a being somewhere and getting to think, you know, it's kind of one of those things. I don't know if God's ever done this for you before, but sometimes like you think like a scenario or a situation, and we know better than this now, you know, maybe it's a maturity thing, but we think that certain scenarios or situations or possessions or whatever are going to make us happy, right? And then we get them, like God allows us to taste that, and then we're like, well, that's no better than the last thing that I had, you know, right? You know, and it's like, you know, if I just have that job over there, man, I'll be happy and we'll just be set for life, right? And then you get the job and you're like, man, this job's just like the other job, you know? It's got more issues and things than the other deal. And you know, God did that with me. God did that with me. And he impressed on my heart that we were supposed to start a church that was going to be a little different. Something that kind of looked like youth ministry, something that looked like the stuff I'd been doing with teenagers for a long time. And I kept having the same conversation with a lot of people over and over of this need for churches, not making our church better than another church or anything, but just this need for churches that would be willing to preach the gospel, but be willing to color outside the lines when it comes to the methods of ministry. And so we began to pray about that and think about that. And that road, you know, led us to some crazy places and all that. And, you know, then I began sharing this with friends. A friend of mine is here today. I'll have him come up here in just a second. John and with Joey and with Aaron. And, you know, it started to kind of permeate in our hearts and Ben at that time. And, you know, and God began to bring us together to do something. Just as a small group, as just a couple of us, a few of us. And if you ever have any doubt of, you know, what Joey does around here, Joey's been a part of so much. God has used Joey in such amazing ways that we would even be here today. People just don't know, especially in those earlier days when, you know, he was still single and didn't have kids to keep up with. And I think one of them's puking this morning. That's why Jenna's not here, you know, and everything else. You know how this goes, you know, but, I thank God that Joey was with me during that time, was with us during that time to help us figure things out. We worked on the church for about a year before we even started. Well, so we get into it. And about 10 years ago, we had met a couple times with some random people, and we'd had a lot of dinners with people, inviting people to be a part of what was going to be 24 Church. And, you know, just there's a whole lot of details I'm just going to have to leave out today, which you can imagine. And you're always welcome to ask about those things. But as we began to talk and meet, people began to be attracted to what was going on, and God began to lead people to be a part of this. And it was amazing to me, you know, the first Sunday that we gathered together, you know, we gathered with 69 people there that morning. And I still don't for the life of me know where 69 people came from. I have no idea where these people came from. I mean, I look back, I watched the first service. I didn't even know we had the first service on video. Jerry's been posting all these videos this week. You go back and you look at some of that stuff. I had no idea that some of that stuff was even on video. I'm looking at people in the crowd. I'm like, man, I didn't even know that they were there, you know. And it's just amazing to see how God has worked and how God has moved. I know he doesn't want me to recognize him, so I'm not going to recognize him, but I'm going to talk about what God did through him. You know, shortly before we started meeting, we needed a place to meet. And one of the things that we had to do was find a location. And as you all well know, there's so many things to do, you know, so many places to go in Pleasant View, right? We began looking for a spot, and we'd been coached, you know, if you could get into a school and that kind of thing. So, I mean, we kind of targeted Pleasant View Elementary as being like the perfect spot if we could, you know, if we could use that as a place for us to meet until God would lead us to do otherwise. And so we went and talked with Mickey Dice, and Mickey's here today with us. And I'll say this, because I know, again, he doesn't want me, you know, doting over him today. But, I mean, I'll say this to you, Mickey, if you don't mind me saying this. Thank you. Thank you. Because I want you to see how God works. God put a man of God as the principal of that school. And I know that God's used you in that school for years in the lives of families. I've heard the stories from here to Kingdom Come about how God's used you there. But if for no other reason that you would say yes to a couple of stupid kids who wanted to come and start a church in your school, that we're walking through the facility and we kept asking to use more and more of it. You know, like, we're like, we like the gym. What about the cafeteria? What about the day? I mean, you know, he's like, well, yeah, I guess, you know, I guess. What about using the chairs? Well, I guess, you know, and, you know, I mean, and at the end of the day, I mean, you go, well, Chris, it's just coincidence. No, it's not coincidence. It's not coincidence. Where can you go in Pleasant View and meet somewhere and not pay rent? Did you know that we didn't pay rent at Pleasant View Elementary? The school board never charged us a dime. And although before it was all over with, they had it out for us and they were ready for us to go. But hey, you know, that's the day and age that we live in, and there's no surprises there. And I pray that we, and I think we were hopefully a blessing while we were there to the school and to Mickey and to the staff there. You know, and so I look back on that. That's just one of those things that God did. God orchestrated those things to happen for that period of time. And that story goes so much deeper, and we'll talk about it another time about them wanting, you know, needing to get us out. Somebody's pulling on their strings, I'm sure. Again, just a God thing. So we start meeting, and as we start meeting, people start coming along. You know, there's people. I've got students from West Tennessee that moved here, former students from student ministry past that, you know, there's a lot of, when you're meeting a school, there's a lot of setup, there's a lot of tear down, there's just a lot of stuff to do. And so even in that, you know, we had people that moved here to be a part of that. In fact, just out of curiosity, who here could just say, you can raise your hand if you know, I don't want to make you stand up and make you feel crazy. But who here actually moved here to be a part? Is there anybody in here right now that moved here to be a part of this? John, you might as well. Y'all might as well have moved here, even though y'all are still living in West Tennessee. We'll get to that here in just a second. But, you know, there was a lot of setup and tear down. We had two trailers full of just stuff, you know, sound equipment, kids' equipment, you know, cleaning supplies and equipment, and we would go in every week and we would set up and we would tear down in the elementary school. And then even, you know, even beyond the elementary school, you know, we went to Pleasant View Christian. You know, we were at the elementary school, I think, for 2.5 years. And then after 2.5 years, we went to the Christian school for about 8 months. You know, so just a crazy time when you look back on that. Every week, setting up, every week, tearing down, you know, a lot of work, a lot of sacrifice. If you were a part of a setup or tear down, raise your hand. I know that there's a bunch of you guys in here that did that at some point in time. Yeah, yeah. You're like, please don't bring that back up, right? Actually, here's the funny thing. Here's the funny thing. And I got told this before we ever planted the church. I got told, you know, that your people will later on in life look back on those times and go, man, I miss setting up and tearing down. Don't you miss setting up and tearing down? And I've had people say that to me. I look at them and go, you don't miss that. It's like, you miss hanging out with people. Won't you call people up and hang out with people if you miss that? You don't have to set up and tear down to hang out with people. But God provided us a place to meet, and God used that, and we saw the church grow, and it's one of those things. I don't think that a lot of people really realize, you know, 80% of church plants fail. 80% of church plants fail, and so, you know, what God has chosen to do with us, I don't know why He's chosen for us to make a go, other than I know that He wants to be glorified. That is it. That's the one and only thing. And so as we point to this stuff today, I hope that He is. As you know, I had felt led to being a part of this, you know, there was this passage that stuck out to me. There was this passage that I had adopted for years and years through student ministry, as I felt called to ministry as a teenager, out of 1 Timothy 4, verse 11. 1 Timothy 4, verse 11 says this. It says, command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. And this passage resonated with me, especially, I think I was 26, 27 years old when we were looking at starting 24 Church. And, you know, this passage was one of those things that I had to cling to. I had to be reminded of, because it's so easy when you're young to making excuses and saying, well, I'm not seasoned enough, or I'm not ready. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. And I had to go back to this passage and remember this promise that God had given me that He's leading me to do something. And if He's leading me to do it, I can't let my youth be the thing that would stop me. And instead, that no one would despise me for that, but I would just go on and set an example for others as Jesus would have me to set. And so for us in general, even as a young church, it became this passage that I think that led and helped us. And I went back this week, and it's kind of hard for me to watch this stuff, to be honest with you. But I went back and I watched. I didn't even know, again, some of this was on video, but I watched the first message, the very first message that I did 10 years ago. And I was watching it in bed the other night on my iPad, and I fell asleep toward the end of it. So now I know what you guys feel like a whole lot of the time. But you know, I was preaching. I was preaching from this passage, and I thought to myself, how appropriate, you know, that helped lead us to do this. God led us through so many things. Locke's coming along. In the very beginning, it was me and Joey and Aaron. It was the three of us. And we worked on planning stuff for 24 Church, I would say, for like 8 months, just the three of us. And then we begin asking other people to come alongside and be a part of this for 4 months, last 4 months of 2004. We just met with people, asked people to pray about it. And we met a couple of times, people, one at the school. The first time we met at the school, and then somebody pulled the fire alarm that night. That was awesome. Mickey had to come along with the fire department. You know, like right off the bat, I'm like, oh my gosh, he's going to kick us out. This is going to be bad. But again, grace and God's leading, that didn't happen. And, but you look back on these things. And so then, you know, we need somebody to help lead us in song. And so, you know, we've been talking to people. The very first Sunday, if you didn't watch the video this week, the very first Sunday, the music was led by a friend of ours named Amy Cox and Ben Adkison. Right there is Ben on the left, bearded wonder Ben right there, okay? You know, in fact, I really, Jerry, I think we should make a video that's like the evolution of beards at 24 or something. But yeah, that's you know, they led us. They came from the Memphis area to lead us just that morning. We didn't know what we were going to do for the next week. But I had started talking to Nathan like the week before that and asked Nathan if he would be interested in being a part of the ministry that we were going to be doing. And he straight up was like, no. And I mean, he'd been burnt out, and I could let him share just a little bit about it, but I'll tell you the nutshell of, you know, he'd just been burned by some ministry past stuff. And he was admittingly kind of like, I'll be honest with you, man, I'm probably not your guy. I've been burned by the church, and I just don't think that I'm the guy that you want to have probably coming and leading people to worship God. And I said, that, my friend, makes you perfect for what we're doing. I said, because you will understand how so many other people already feel about the church. I said, there are so many people out there like you that we need to be a part of reaching. And then he was like, oh, crap, you know. So anyway, he prayed about it. And then we got him for one Sunday. And you know, after that first Sunday, you know, we were like, well, what do you think? He's like, oh, yeah. We're like, well, how about coming back next Sunday? And so, believe it or not, we had this like Sunday by Sunday thing going, like peddling Nathan into this whole deal. Sorry, it's a drag racing term, but you know, we were, you know, kind of working Nathan in to being a part of what we were doing, kind of easing him into it. And sure enough, God, man, we're so thankful. So like from the second week, this week, actually, we talked about this last night. This weekend is kind of Nathan's 10-year anniversary. And just crazy to see how God has used that. John, why don't you come up for just a second? It's amazing to me along the way how God uses different people in your lives. John and I met as youth ministers in Collierville, Tennessee, where I was before we moved back here, and used John in my life. And John, in to kind of just get to the quick of it, somehow, I mean, other than God leading to do this, I don't know how this happens. Somehow you decided that you would be a part of ministry here while living 3 hours away in Collierville, Tennessee. And you drove every weekend to be here and to help lead a student ministry for us. And so we started a student ministry. Everybody tells you in church planning, don't start student ministry the first year. We got like 2 months in, and I started having students over at my house on Sunday nights, and was like, no, we got to have a student ministry. I can't help. I can't, you know, I just, you know, and then somewhere along the way in that, you came in and you started, you know, taking over what we started, which wasn't much, you know, getting together and having hot dogs or something. And I asked John if he'd come today, really just so he could be here. I just want to see him, to be honest with you, and just get to hang out with him. But I also asked him if he could share just anything just of what he saw God do in the midst of all this craziness, church, us, whatever. Come on, something.
I will gladly do that. First of all, I think it's important for us to acknowledge how dangerous it is for us both to have a microphone and
yes.
be on the stage.
Yes.
It's probably a good thing to start. For those of you I have not had the joy and pleasure of meeting, my name's John, and Chris and I have known each other longer than 10 years because when God moved him to West Tennessee to do student ministry in Collierville, that's the town that I lived in, and I was doing student ministry as well there. And so I was telling this story the other day to somebody, trying to explain to them why I was coming to Nashville to come see you this weekend. They said, how did you guys even meet? I said, well, I finally met another youth pastor that was not so interested in just getting his little students together and doing their thing, but actually wanted students in our community to know Jesus. And when Chris and I got together, it was evident to me, if you've been around him, he wants people to know Jesus. And so for us, while we were there in Collierville, we said, you know what? We want students in Collierville to know Jesus. And so we just kicked down some imaginary walls that people thought existed and started breaking rules because that's what we're good at. Really good at.
Preacher's kids.
When you reminded me the other night of us putting so much smoke in the building nobody could see that one night. That was great. Anyway, that's another
fantastic
story.
One of my best memories ever.
Anyway, for Chris and I, he has been like a brother that I never had. Chris and I, when we started just having conversations in Collierville, you know how God just grants you favor with somebody and you feel like they're family from the beginning? that's the way it feels for him. I haven't seen him in a couple of years now since we hung out at Camp Electric, and walking in and putting my arms around his neck, he's like a brother to me. And I know that you guys, you have a gift in your pastor. You have a gift and a treasure in your pastor. Yeah. And you need to, and you need to honor that, and you need to embrace that and be thankful for that. That is a grace to this body. And so, the story of this was, you know, so I decided I wanted to reach some more people besides those people in our community. So I said, hey, I told Chris, said, hey, I'm thinking about going and doing some traveling and speaking. Chris, like, that's brilliant, dude. You should do that. Well, he thought it was a good idea. I thought it was a good idea. The church I was serving didn't think it was a great idea. And so I found myself kind of in this no man's land suddenly. And so Chris goes, well, you know, I think we ought to start a student ministry at 24. Why don't you just start coming up on the weekends and we'll start doing stuff? Horrible idea. Let's do it. All right. So you can imagine what it was like with wife and kids and me driving every weekend. But it was one of those things that we just, man, we prayed about it. We saw the Lord and we began to see fruit immediately. Whether it was going to Scarlet Vendetta concerts, yes, or whether, yes, it was doing all kinds of random gallon challenges, or we started meeting in a whole nother school. We added another school to the mix. We started doing stuff on Sunday night. We started to, it blew up from there.
We had a student service that met on Sunday nights at the Christian school while we were meeting on Sunday mornings at the elementary school. Whole nother setup and tear down, like, because we can't go halfway with it.
Setup and tear down,
let's get all the equipment back out again and do it all over again.
Yeah,
makes total
that was
sense.
A bad idea too.
Yeah.
So the reality of things is today, man, I just, it's an honor and a joy to be before you. I echo what Chris said. There are no coincidences. There are no accidents. There is only providence, and God, who has been good and kind, has brought this thing to be. He's using it for his glory. As I was thinking about this and what I would say, you know, as you read the scripture in the Old Testament, there's this ongoing pattern that when God does something great, he would tell the people to set up a monument, an altar. And so I call that my pile of rocks. And so sometimes on the journey, you need the pile of rocks there so that you can go back and remind yourself of God's faithfulness and his goodness. Because we, just like the nation of Israel, quickly forget and run to other things. And so today, you know, this is looking at a pile of rocks.
Yeah.
This is a testimony to God's faithfulness, to his goodness, to his work, the evidence of his grace all around us. And so, you know, at 10 years, for some of you, you're like, dude, I've barely been here 10 minutes and I'm not sure this is a good idea. I'll just go ahead and tell you, it's a great idea. Come back, be here again and again and again. You will just see God do stuff that there really is no explanation for, other than God is great. You're gonna be around people, and they're gonna tell you stories of how he's transformed their lives through the power of the gospel, and you're gonna go, God is amazing. Grace is just unbelievable. And so, you know, it's a joy for me to be with you. For those of you that haven't seen in a long time, it's really good to hug your neck and say hello. But Chris, well done, buddy. Yeah, this is testimony to your faithfulness, and you've been a part of God's agency in this. And I'm so glad that you came in a spray-painted Bronco to Collierville, Tennessee, the cheat, so that we could start pulling people from all over in the meetings and saying, hey, let's set things on fire. And they went, that's a bad idea. And we're like, I know, let's do it. And they said, okay. And then God captured your heart, brought you up here. I still remember making you your farewell tape, and I still embrace those words. So I want you guys to know it's a gift and a joy. Today, let this be a day of remembrance. Let this be a day of celebration. We need to go back, and we need to remember. But like Locke said earlier, let our remembrance and our celebration not be at the strength of the work in our hands, but let it be of the goodness of God and his work in our lives and in the community around us. Yeah. Congratulations, you guys. Happy anniversary. It's good. Yeah. 10 years.
Thank you for your faithfulness John, thank you for your faithfulness in serving as a part of here, the student ministry, even today, you know, as can always look back and see some of the things that you did to kind of build on. And so, man, and thank you, Allison, for putting up with All of that that he just talked about and all the rest of it that we can't talk about on stage. We appreciate you and the kids. You guys don't remember that much from back then, but we thank you still, for the sacrifice that you made with your dad. Lisa, why don't you go ahead and come up? I want to talk about the pile of rocks for just a minute. For us to kind of look at things, it's hard when everybody talks about a church, a lot of times they think about a building. As you well know, we don't consider the church the building, but God needed us a place. The school board was ready for us to go. We had to do something. And along the way, we had to figure out what's it look like for us to find a place. And as you well know, there's, again, not many places around Pleasant View that you just take a couple hundred people and start having church. And so one lowly day, we're supposed to, me, I think Stephen Carr, maybe Nathan, Joey, Nathan Carr, we're supposed to meet to talk about, we're going to go meet to look at this building that's next door to here, which is now City Hall. A lot of you probably don't know the story. And so we went to go look at City Hall, and we're waiting in the parking lot, Finally, we get a call from the owner, and they say, well, I can't come meet you because it looks like the city has just bought the building. I mean, like literally while we're like hanging out or something. I don't know how that worked, but they did it. And so next thing we know, we're like, oh, man. Well, while we were waiting over there, I was walking around over here. This wasn't even on the market at that time. I want to introduce to you Lisa Moffitt. And Lisa was one of the co-owners of this building. And to kind of go back in time for just a little bit, and again, I want you to hear this story because I want you to know what God did, because I think he deserves the glory for what he did, and I think once you hear it, you'll understand why. But in the midst of us looking for some place, this building finally did come on the market. And when it did come on the market, we called. I guess we were like a little over a year into planting the church. By the way, being about like a year old church and trying to get a building is impossible. It's next to impossible. And so here we are approaching these people who are smart with money and have made wise decisions along the way and saying, hey, we'd love to buy your building. And they're like, okay. So we go to lunch one day and sit down and talk. And I can tell Lisa's heart is stirred. And the other guy, he's needing to be Mr. Responsible. Like he's breaking the news. He's like, man, this just isn't going to work out. We're kind of devastated. We got like a little building team, having a lunch up in Clarksville and all this kind of thing. Tell your side of this. Tell a little bit of kind of where this happened in your life.
Well, last week, am I on?
I think
last
so.
Last week, Mr. Loxley got up here and talked about accidents, and this dude just got up here and talked about accidents. 2005, late 2005, I was having a crisis, me and the guy who owned this here, Keith Harris, in our lives. And that particular day you're talking about, we had just sold the City Hall like 4 or 5 months before. And we had put this building up for lease 4 or 5 months later. And I was in Pleasant View having a meeting with some people. And it was one of those days, one of those meetings where it's just really making you sick at your stomach. So I drove down to Shake It Up because Kiehl's smoothies, I don't know if y'all remember Shake It Up smoothies, but my gosh, they were so good. I go in there just to get something to calm my stomach, and I'm upset a little bit from the meeting. And lo and behold, I'm up there ordering and see Stephen Carr. I knew you a little bit, but not much. Turn around and I forgot really the details of what happened, but it was like...
You want me to tell that part?
You can tell that part.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the coincidence part. Because I think that's how God moves. It's God winks is what I call them. And it's those little things where you look back and you say, man, God, how could you take something so ugly and turn it into something so marvelous? And the ultimate God wink is that my husband is sitting here with me. We're Church of Christ. We're coming to, if you'd told me 10 years ago that I've been coming to a church.
They go here now.
We go here now. That played a rock band. That had a preacher with a psychedelic hair, and that preacher would end up marrying my daughter. I would have told you to put.
Well, I performed the wedding, but.
Yeah. Well, whatever. We ain't that close.
I couldn't resist. She set me up for it, right?
Anyway, I would have laughed. I would have just really laughed. So, in looking back in hindsight, I can see so many coincidences. And that particular day, I think, was divine. And y'all ended up coming to Clarksville. And we had talked. Keith and I met with, I think, y'all's building leadership steering team, whatever y'all want to call it. But we had been advised that startup churches, you don't want to loan money to because they fail on their debt 78% of the time. So common sense is telling us.
She's remembered that number all these years.
And you know, he just said 80% of something.
Of church plants fail.
Yeah.
Which is
so this would have been a church plant. So the odds of you wanting to loan money to something that 80% fails and a bank is telling you, man, you don't want to do this, 78% fail, you're freaking crazy.
Yeah, banks weren't going to touch us. We were looking at them and going, hey, would you owner finance it?
Yeah, we did. We're crazy. What? It's a really bad idea. Isn't that what you said? So,
bad idea. Let's do it.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think that's where God comes into play in this warehouse, which this warehouse is just a warehouse. It's the people. It's the people who got things started 10 years ago. It's the people who come here every day. And I just stand, I'm on the inside now, but looking from the outside back then, it amazes me how God has used this little building and these people in this. It reminds me of the church song of the little kids. And this is people inside. It amazes me how God has used it. And there's a scene I was telling Chris. This is when he asked me to do this. I was like, nah. Matter of fact, I almost faked sick this morning. I really did.
She said no for 2 weeks.
So I was telling Bill, I think I might be sick.
I almost faked sick a lot of weeks.
I know. So anyway. I think of Joe versus the volcano. I don't know if any of y'all have ever seen the quirky Tom Hanks movie. But there's a part where his life is just gray, and they tell him he's dying. He ends up going with Meg Ryan, and they end up stranded on the ocean, floating on some suitcases, and he knows he's dying. So he gives his last drops of water to Meg Ryan to save her because he's dying. He's hopeless. And he looks up at one part of the movie, and he's just out of his mind from water, but the moon is coming up, and the moon is just huge.
Middle of the night.
It's the biggest full moon. I guess you can imagine being out on the ocean, and you see him looking up at it, and he says, wow, God, I never knew you were so big. That's what I think of when I think of this warehouse and how things have been used. And I can't wait to see. I'm going to close with this, and I'm getting back down. I can't wait to see where this church is 10 years from now with the people and the relationships that God is building, because that's going to be the ultimate God wink, is to see where we all are 10 years from now, looking at 10 years ago when they're moving in from Pleasant View Christian and Pleasant View Elementary.
Thank you, Lisa. I'll tell the part of the story about at Shake It Up that day. We had already met with them in Clarksville. They said no. We had gathered together at Shake It Up, the little coffee shop that's now Pleasant Time. If you're a Pleasant Viewite, you'll understand all that. We were meeting with kind of our building team and a couple staff folks. And, I mean, we were kind of at a dead end. We were like, we're supposed to move on, but we don't know where to go. We don't know how we're going to do this. And, I mean, we began thinking about, do we go to Nashville? Do we have to move from Pleasant View? You know, those kind of things. And long story short, I just, you know, we're kind of having a Debbie Downer moment, to be real honest with you. And I look at the guys and I said, okay, here's the deal. God's led us to do this. We know that he's led us to do this. Let's pray right now that he would work. Let's pray right now that he would do his thing and that he would do it in such a way that we will always be able to point back at what he has done, that he would be glorified. So we prayed. We bowed our heads. Here we are at Shake It Up. There's like 8 of us around one of these tables, you know, which is kind of odd. And we're like sitting on top of each other pretty much, a bunch of dudes at that, you know. And we prayed. And we get done praying. And we're sitting by the window. And when we get done praying, I look up and I look out. And Lisa is getting out of her car, and she walks in. She walks in. She didn't see us. She goes up. She orders her smoothie. I told her. I remembered her ordering her smoothie the other day. And then she told me, well, I couldn't eat anything solid at that time because of things going on in my life. She orders her smoothie, and I said, Lisa, And she turns around and she looks at us. And at this point, she knows who we are collectively as a crew, because we've already had a lunch together, you know. And she sees us. She comes over and she's kind, you know, and she's, you know, hey, how are you guys? You know, what's going on with you guys today? And it kind of went dead silence for a second. I said, well, we just got through praying that, you know, trying to figure out what God wants us to do. And we just got done praying that God would do something amazing to help lead us in this. And she starts crying. And she says, there were other things said, but the thing that I remember the most is she just says, I feel like God wants this to happen. We've got to figure this out. I'm going to go talk to Keith. We got to figure this out. Folks, that's not accident. That's not accident. God orchestrates the things that he wants to do when he wants to do them. When we are ready, a lot of times, for him to do them instead of us trying to force them, you know? And sometimes he puts us in positions along the way that we would be forced to trust him, and that our faith would be made even stronger. But at the end of the day, he does those things in our lives. But at the end of the day, the ultimate purpose is to point back to him, to point back to the gospel, to point back to who Jesus is, to what Jesus has done, to what God did in sending his son to die on a cross, that even despite who we are and despite our sin, that we could be redeemed, that we could be made new. And so Pile Rocks is a good way for, I think, us to look at this place that we're in. And to remember, you know, what God has done to allow this to even happen. It didn't make sense. Business decision-wise, for everybody involved, it didn't make sense. And even years later, when we went to banks, we met with like 20 banks. And I'll just tell you, I got tired of meeting with banks. I don't know how many banks you've ever met with for like looking for a loan for something, especially like a business or something. It got old. It got old. We had banks that would tell us, you know, hey, if you'll have 20 people sign off that, you know, they'll back this thing, and if the whole thing folds, that we can default on them, then we'll do it. And we go through all that work, and then they go, well, we still can't do it. You know, and it's like, what? You know? And then again, one day, God worked in a guy's heart named John Rudolph in Clarksville, and we shared with him the vision of the church, and he didn't ever, at this point, he had not seen our books. He didn't know if we had any money. I think we told him we didn't have any money, you know, and he looked at us and he said, I think we can make this work. And I remember sitting up in my chair and said, John, I said, man, I appreciate you. I said, I've heard that before. I was like, man, you know, I'm not interested, you know, in just you making us feel good here today. We need straight. And he's like, no, I'm serious. We're going to make this happen. And he did. And God used him. I mean, all along the way, we've just seen God move and do that. And that's just building stuff. I mean, building stuff's great. You know, we've had two people, one person this morning, one person this week, that both found out that things that were thought to be cancer were not cancer this week. Okay? That's the church. That's the people. That's been people praying over these people. I mean, that's amazing. You know? And God deserves the glory for all of those things. You go along and you look at all the things that God's done. Man, there's so many things. I look back, I see videos of things like Jive. Us coming to, you know, going to the Christian school, finally getting into the building. I see God leading us and molding us and shaping us to be better disciples, to be in community with one another. You know, I look back and I see things like us adopting love God, love people, live gospel, make disciples. Things like this along the way, you just see God work and do amazing things, you know. And you know, I look at all this and I think to myself, you know, this has just been 10 years. I wonder what the next 10 will be like. And we'll be talking about some of that next week, just pieces of it, because we don't know. We didn't know we'd be here in 10 years ago. And you know, but the truth is that this is God's church. This is for him. It is for his glory. And along the way, I think it's important for us to remember that if he's leading us, we got to go. We got to follow. And so, you know, even today, as we tell these stories of what God has done, I challenge you that whatever God is leading you to in your life, whatever God is calling you to in your life, that you would be faithful to that. I'm going to ask Joey and Nathan if they would just come for just a second. The band can go ahead and come back up too if they want to. I think we're doing something else after this. But I want them just to come up for just a second. You know, in keeping with, you know, where we've been and you know, where we're going, you know, in from the very beginning, it's been about Jesus. And up to even now, it's about Jesus. We're here for his glory. We're here that people might know him. If you ever had any doubt of anything else. I want to just give these guys just a second if you want to just share just anything, you know. These guys have been faithful, you know, and there was just no way that I could not do this and not give them a chance just to share something, you know.
Well, I thank you guys, first of all, for allowing me to be one of your pastors and being able to serve you guys over the last 10 years. This is my family. I think we would all echo that you guys, I mean, the church is, I feel like, is my baby, but you're my family too. I mean, it's crazy to think that a couple of kids, and we were kids at the time, that God could use the way that he's used all of us. I mean, I just want to thank you guys for being able to be there to you know, submit to leadership of, you know, kids that really didn't really have business leading the church at the time, and maybe still don't. But you guys have been very gracious and how you've treated my family and loved my family, and thank you so much for that.
It's been wild just this week to remember past 10 years, and you forget a lot when you're in the middle of it, but I think one of the best things is that when you do remember, you have a lot of reason to rejoice. You got lots of reasons when you remember what God's done to worship him. So it's been cool to see this week, even just my heart kind of jump when I think about what God does here. And let me just say this. The things that he's put together, like this building, or how just all the little things that have come together, that's powerful, great stuff. But there is nothing greater and more powerful than when God raises dead men to life.
Come on.
And we've seen that. Mm-hmm. He's done that to me. He's and to a lot of us here. He is real. And Jesus is real. In the past 10 years, the greatest thing that we could ever appear, stand on this stage and say, is that Jesus Christ is Lord. Mm-hmm. And so if you're here today, know this. From all the stories you might hear, from the faces you might see here, it is a working story, a history that proves that there is truth in Jesus Christ, that there's power in his life, death, and resurrection, and you can trust in him today. I wanted to say this, just to say thank you to the teams that I've worked with. Man, thank you all so much. Jerry, dude, thank you so much. I love you.
Nobody has any idea the time that he puts in. You know, if you haven't seen the church Facebook page in the last week or so, just even that alone, just, you know, you'll see his work.
She's not here. I want to say thank you to my wife, though. Without her, I wouldn't be here. Literally, she got me this job, right? So, the other person I want to thank, and I don't know if he's even around, but my brother, Matt, the one who slaps the bass up here. He has been by far the most faithful servant to this church that I've seen. Week in and week out, there's probably no one that has been at more 24 church services than Matt Loxley. And so I just want to say thanks. That's it. Yeah. Did y'all hear that? You're welcome. So.
You sound just like him, too.
Yeah. But no, thank you for letting me be your pastor. And I'm looking forward to what God has in store for us this next month, this next year, mm-hmm. and for as long as he keeps us all here.
Yeah. Yeah. I just want to say thank you to both you guys. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for these two guys. God has allowed us to lean on each other, to punch each other in the face, to whatever we've needed to do in those moments in time. These guys have been faithful. Thank you guys for being faithful. Thank you to your families for putting up with so much. There have been so many of you that have put up with so much, that have been a part of ministry teams, that have been room leaders, that have been every ounce of what we have done, what we are still doing, what God is leading us to do is for his glory. It is for his kingdom. And, you know, I think that the truth is that we forget how big God is. Going back to what Lisa was talking about, we forget how big God is. And he deserves the glory for how great he is, how awesome he is. And we should remember that when he leads us, we should just trust him. I think I was just young and dumb enough to follow and do crazy things when I was 26 and 27 years old. But I knew God was leading us to do it too. I'm grateful if it was because I was young and dumb. I'm grateful for that now. But I pray that we would all have that childlike faith all the time. I don't feel like I have it a lot of days. But the truth is that we should trust Jesus like that all the time. Thank you. Thank all of you for being a part of this and for allowing God to use you in ministry here and to be a part of this. And I want to close with this verse right here, Matthew 21:42. Matthew 21:42 says this. It says, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. And if you need to be reminded of something, let me remind you of this. God does not change. God's mission does not change. The mission that we had 10 years ago is the same mission today. We change. He does not. If you have any question about that in your life, then go back and spend some time with the Lord about it. Because he still wants to use you and use me and use this body of believers for his glory. Let's pray together.